Oh my God, your poor dad.
Wow,
solid.
That's a girthy clap.
I thought it was kind of weak.
Really? I thought it was kind of girthy.
Wow.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Lurch gives girthy claps.
I wrote on my TikTok about how I love like a girthy Caesar salad, and like, I feel like that makes sense.
It does.
Because there's like vinaigrette-y Caesar salads, but then there's
vinaigrette.
And then there's like girthy Caesar salads, you know, and it's like
thick.
Thick.
Speaking of girth, I've had a couple people now send me your video that went viral of the guy who is like stitching your video of you talking about Hank like jumping into your anal cavity.
Yeah.
And then he turns into a dog.
I know.
The first person was
so
like
violating.
The first person was like, hey, like
you were concerned.
Like, hey, like, I don't know if you saw this.
Like, I don't know how to tell you this.
But. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, she's always talking about his penis.
I don't think I was talking about his penis in that video. I was
but
saying
you were
how,
basically just, like, talking about
I was
how,
sexualizing
like,
my son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then they said, oh, well, at least it went viral. And I said, yeah, at least.
At least. But, I mean, it didn't go viral and, like, help me out. It helped whoever made the video out. Because
yeah.
I don't think they even tagged me.
I think you're right, because people were like, is this your sister? I was like, that's my sister. She loves her dog.
Well, the video premise was like, I love when Hank is so needy and he turns into baby seal mode where he just like lays on me with no arms, no legs, just his body. And he would like literally crawl up into my anal cavity. If you know the feeling, like your dog loves you so much, like he wants to be like in you.
Yeah, but you know, we all, well, I'm listening to that video just thinking of all of the times you've been like, look at Hank, he's so hot.
He is so hot though,
and he has a huge,
it's just because you have a thing for
dogs.
I love when someone has a little athleticism.
He's such an athlete.
I know, but he's also like,
it's just he's your son.
No, this is gonna sound weird, but he's like, reminds me of Mr. Roberts. Like, he's like so nice and like fun and funny and like social, but like also like very kind and caring. They both have brown eyes.
I don't know. They both work out every day.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
They both like can't sit still.
Yeah.
And they both are obsessed with me.
There's one big difference.
One is a human.
Mr. Roberts has class and Hank don't.
Mr. Roberts has class.
Well, I guess there's
don't.
A few big differences. The human,
that's big.
That's the biggest one.
It's huge.
And then, you know, Hank could completely, he would never vacuum the floor if he, like, he wouldn't need to.
I think if he was a human, he would.
I don't think so. I don't see that for Hank.
Interesting.
Hank just, like, lives his life.
Yeah, maybe that's true. Like, maybe Mr. Roberts is more of a clean freak than
yeah.
Hank.
That was what because I thought was the only difference until you reminded me that, like, one's a dog, one's a human.
Yeah.
That's the biggest difference.
Well, because Hank will do this thing with his toys where he likes to gut every toy he has.
Don't say
Mr. Roberts.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, no, Hank likes to gut his toys, and he will, like, leave the stuffing all over the room. And, like, if Mr. Roberts was a dog, he would never do that.
Mm-mm. He would never.
Yeah, so.
He would line all his toys up in a row, and he would say, we're playing a nice game now.
Yeah, other than that, though, they're exactly alike.
Right.
But anyways, we're just talking about my boyfriend and my dog being the same person.
Make sure you remember to bleep that out.
Bleep, because Paige said Mr. Roberts' name.
I just was, you know, just talking like I normally talk, and out it came.
But I did post a picture, because Mr. Roberts, he posted me on his Instagram.
I saw.
And so I was like, you know what? Let's just post a picture of me and Mr. Roberts. I've already posted a picture of him, and he's in some of my reels. But I just, you know, after like a year and however many months, I was like, maybe the girly should
maybe it's
see.
Time.
And people are like, is this Mr. Roberts? I'm like, yes. No, it's some new guy I'm dating.
Sometimes people will DM me and be like, hey, is this Mr. Roberts? Like, they're afraid to ask you, but they know that I'll tell. And I'm like, yeah, that's Mr. Roberts.
It would be really funny if you hired like a stunt double to play Mr. Roberts.
That would be taking the bit to another level.
Yeah.
Or you can only post pictures of, like, the back of his head.
I
or, like
Wilson
from Home Improvement. You can only see his eyes up.
I know, because I do like being a little mysterious with him, because you know how the internet can be. And yep. also, it's just like, I just don't want to put my biz out there so much. So
it's more fun this way.
Yeah, it's like a nice little like toe, you know?
Yep.
So that's that on that. Do you want to like intro this podcast or something?
Guys, welcome back to Your Poor Dad. You can't choose your sisters, but you can choose your podcast. So thank you for joining us and being the fourth brand sister.
Thank you for joining us. So this will not air on the 10th. This will be coming out on the 17th.
Hell yeah.
So because we recorded an episode that will be going out tomorrow. But just letting you girls know and you girls know. A little peek
behind the curtain, everyone. Yeah,
just a little break in the fourth wall.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Why?
Because all of the stuff that I have to talk about is very timely for tomorrow.
Well, you can still do like
maybe
like
we can
reels and whatever to tease it before.
Yeah, we can figure out the details of this.
Yeah, we can talk about that offline.
Yeah, maybe like the sisters don't need to be involved in that.
Well, because the sisters have been DMing me saying they can't wait to know my thoughts on the vault songs.
Okay, so then let's just go.
So tell us,
what are your thoughts? Okay, so
July 7th, this is a big day,
huge day.
Speak Now Taylor's version,
right?
Okay, so a couple things. This will be kind of quick, okay? Or it doesn't have to be. Depends okay. on how involved you guys want to get.
I think maybe if we start
so we'll obviously out. Let's start with just the normal re-records.
Okay, yeah.
I don't want to get into it because I know a lot of people have really just been dragging her for it. And I just have to say I agree with, it's unfortunate that the shaky breath is out of Last Kiss. You know, like that, when you hear that in the original, in the stolen version, like that one breath could bring me to tears.
Yeah,
because she's recording this song. This is the saddest song that she's like ever written and recorded. And she's in the booth just probably bawling her eyes out. And she's like,
who's it about?
I think that one's about Joe.
Interesting.
I could be wrong. But anyway, so that's, her voice has matured. She's so far past that relationship. When she's re-recording, her voice didn't shake. So it's okay, but something we all noted.
It would also be kind of weird if she did, like, do the shaky breath as an actress.
No, the only reason I don't think that would be weird is because...
nope, not shaky enough.
We need you to actually cry.
Everyone do your best shaky breath.
Ooh, that was good.
Thank you. Oh, that was really good.
Wait, that almost made me cry.
Okay.
That was good.
Really?
Yeah, that was good.
Oh my God, we could all just like...
You looked more scared than sad. Yeah.
I was like...
It doesn't matter what she
I needed
like.
To nail yeah. it. Yeah. I needed to nail the shaky breath. The only reason why I think it would have been okay is because the whole purpose of re-recording is... to make it identical, right? You're just, she wants to own the music. So re-record exactly the same, give it to us, get what we've been listening to the whole time. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to my next point. The lyric changing Better Than Revenge, like, it's not for me.
Not okay. for me.
But I'm over it. That's not a song that I listen to on a regular basis anyways. So I don't care that much. I just thought it was a really interesting, decision.
I feel like it's like so predictable of Taylor to, I can't believe anyone even thought that she wouldn't change that because she's like
part of me
anti-bullying.
But part of me almost thought that she would keep it because remember a long time ago when she changed the gay.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. Don't
mind if I say. Which is like the worst lyric change.
It is.
It's like a huge nothing lyric, you know?
And I get why she had to change it.
I do too, but
it just
everyone today, right? The gays, the girls, the guys, like everyone's like, it's like we should have kept it.
Yeah, because I feel like now the gays would like just yell it. Like,
yeah.
I'll tell my friends, you're gay. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost like an anthem, like, you're gay.
And maybe we had to have that lyric change first and, Taylor be so supportive for us to come to, for them, everyone to come to that conclusion.
So,
but I just like, we didn't need it.
I have a question. So she'll be touring with Paramore. Side note, is Sabrina Carpenter out of the mix or is she coming along with Paramore? Some dates are with Paramore, some dates are with Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah, because like they're,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the next half of the world tour, like Mexico City in South America, will be Sabrina Carpenter. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Why did you act so confused when because I just said that?
I don't know. I think I was really confused by your question.
Because
where like, did I guess my thought was you thought that she announced the first part of the tour with Sabrina, and then you just thought that all of a sudden she was like, nah, just kidding, she's out.
Well, because she's like, I'm so happy to be touring with Haley. And so I thought, like, well, where did Sabrina go?
She's still there.
So they're touring together?
Because remember, she only released a few dates with the Sabrina. That was like the first announcement.
Okay.
And then it said like more international dates to come. So it was like,
I don't know why I'm getting annoyed that you didn't understand my initial question.
Well, because don't you think it would be a huge deal if she was announced that Sabrina yes. Carpenter was going to be there and all of a sudden she replaced her? That would be a whole conversation. So I was confused. I think it's
just
sorry.
Like, I'm on Prolon, so like, I'm just like a little okay. more. But one thing I did have to say is Hayley Williams, when she sings Misery Business, once a whore, you're nothing more. I'm sorry, that'll never change. Do you think she's going to change that lyric to...
That was a big conversation. It was a big conversation, and I don't think she's going to change it. Because, again, it's something that she's addressed a lot of times. She was almost canceled for it, and it's been talked about so many times. And now that is... Everyone screams that line. Because I think it's more of like, as long as you are aware of... Maybe when I wrote this song, this was the vibe. These were the things we were saying. Yeah. And now, yeah, that wasn't great. You acknowledge it. You apologize. But the song's still a song, and it still slaps.
It's like an ode to being a child and living in that world where you just can be like a petty little bitch. And learning that maybe nowadays the kids are a little bit more aware that this is not.
Well, and it's just like actress and mattress rhyme so well together.
Yeah.
And that's matches, like such a... Like,
matches is like...
It's like just such a like almost like childish way to even say like good luck
you're
with your slutty friend, you know. It's like that's a
it, all your friends are
in keeping with the like vibe of that song, you know.
Like it was just like a big diss, like, oh, you're a slut, like she's a slut. That's just how we talked. No, yeah. We don't, but like that's how we did talk.
Yeah,
like I called Bailey's friends sluts. I was like, all your friends are sluts.
Yeah,
bye.
They were in like seventh grade. And they were not slutting. They were not being slutty.
They were acting a little promiscuous.
They were like wanting to be.
And also, it wasn't my friends. You said that to my friend about her friends, which was like a step removed. Where I was like, you literally didn't have to say anything
because. I had to say something. Your friend. So I was dropping Bailey off, Bailey's friend off at her house. And she was just complaining about her friends over and over the whole car ride.
Car ride.
And I was like, all your friends are sluts. All right. Bye. Have a nice day. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, your friends are acting like sluts. They're sluts. Like, but that was 2000.
And you know what? That was a lesson she needed from an older sister. Right. And now we have this podcast.
And now, like, maybe nowadays I wouldn't have used that language, but I'd be like, maybe all your friends are acting a little promiscuous and you don't want that vibe, so maybe you need to separate yourself. That's what I was trying to say. But like, back in 2006, the only verbiage
you
I had was,
yeah, you had a limited vocabulary.
I was like, all your friends are sluts,
bye,
goodbye. That's all. That's all I know to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Vault Songs.
Vault Songs.
Electric Touch is now my number one favorite.
A lot of people didn't like that one.
So I didn't like it. Letting everyone know how I listen to the re-records, I always start with the Vault Songs because that's just me. I need the new.
Because that's the new.
So I always start with the Vault Songs. I listen to those all the way through and then from the top.
Okay.
So. Actually, this one, I think I started with Sparks Fly because it's a fucking banger.
Sparks Fly hits so hard.
I know.
But I listened to mine first because it was like, it sent chills. It got me in the mood. And then I went to Vault.
Yeah. Vault.
Yeah.
Vault. Volte. Anyways, now that I've listened to the Vault Songs several times through, Electric Touch is my number one.
Okay.
And then it's When Emma Falls in Love. Yeah.
Emma Stone. I've said three different Emmas. I've said Emma Roberts. I've said Emma Watson. It's Emma Stone.
It has to be.
It is.
It is. Like, it is. As if Taylor never, this is the thing about Swifties, is Taylor doesn't explicitly say this song is about Emma Stone and you guys are all like, it's about Emma Stone. It is. She means it.
It is about Emma Stone.
You're like, no, but you guys speak for Taylor.
No, literally, like, it's about Emma Stone.
Okay, but you also were like very adamant that it was about Emma Watson.
Well, you know what? So. I really was. That was my fault.
Okay.
Because I think whenever I saw a TikTok and they were talking about Emma Stone, I was like, oh yeah, Emma Watson.
So you just and were, then I was just you were like, thinking Emma Stone, but you said Emma Watson.
No. Oh, you, like, okay. They said Emma Stone, and like for some reason I saw Emma Watson. And then got I was like, it. Oh my gosh. Because then they're talking about like the book and whatever.
Well, that's the thing.
And I was like,
everyone's like,
Emma Watson's so smart. She reads a lot, probably.
You guys will like read between the lines and like, you'll get Easter eggs and then you put these clues together and then you'll say like, oh, Taylor wants us to know this. But like, it's okay, stuff that like, but you don't even know that she wants you to know. But it
is about Emma Stone.
Okay.
Well, it's
okay.
Called confirmation bias, comma, QAnon, and pages and end.
It's called Swiftianity. Okay. Anyways.
Oh,
okay.
It's about the faith. You so, can't see it, but you can feel it.
Electric touch, when Emma falls in love, I can see you. Timeless.
Ding, 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 ding.
Then
ding,
ding. Castles crumbling and my castle foolish
crumbled
one.
Of a night. Do you think that was like a, do you think her singing my castle crumbled of a night was like an Easter egg for us to know that there's a vault song coming?
No, but she likes to have a lot of similarity. Like she'll use.
Yeah, she would have told us that. Paige would know if Taylor wanted you to think that.
Good try.
What a reach.
What a look reach. Who's clowning now.
Well, I think it's actually Emma Thompson she's talking about. Emma
Thompson. Is that the one that passed?
No, she's still with us. Wait, she's the one from like Love Actually.
What's the one from Parent Trap?
Oh wait.
Is I think that that's Emma Thompson.
No. You're wrong.
Let me check.
But she was married to Liam Neeson, who is also in Love Actually.
Oh, Emma Thompson. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
The one from The Parent Trap.
Mom from Parent Trap. People are probably like yelling at their... Natasha Richardson.
What's her name in Parent Trap? Elizabeth Page?
Elizabeth James.
Elizabeth James.
Wait, isn't there like Elizabeth and James? What's that? What's Mary-Kate and Ashley's...
Roe?
Well, that's...
No, they have another one.
Elizabeth James. Oh my God, we're so annoying. Elizabeth James, Parent Trap. Elizabeth James, MK and A. We need to talk about Mary-Kate and Ashley one day.
I want
Elizabeth
know.
And James.
Oh, cute.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. Because. Oh, sorry.
No, you can keep going. Well, she's talking. Bailey's talking.
The Mary-Kate and Ashley biography that came out on Hulu. Did you see that there's a one?
No.
Well, I feel like they would not have consented to it because they're so private. So I don't know who would make they for sure like, didn't documentary. I haven't watched it yet because I feel like they don't want me to.
Me either.
Okay, go back to your vault.
Anyways, so
go back to your notes.
I listed the vault in order of what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I wanted to say, let's move on to the music video.
Okay.
Okay, I really loved, I thought it was perfection that they had Taylor Lautner, Joey King, and Presley Cash in the music video. It was just screaming Speak Now. You know what I mean?
It was.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because Joey King and Presley Cash, they were in her meme music video.
Okay, I know that.
And then the Taylor Lautner of it all. It's like.
That was great. But we knew that was going to happen. Because we saw little leaks.
We saw the little leaks. But do you remember, because Taylor and Taylor Lautner have their podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And Tay Lautner has been a Swiftie for a long time.
Yeah.
And. Someone asked Taylor Lautner, I don't know if it was on The Good Guys or one of the other podcasts they were on. They were like, are you going to go to the Eras tour because your wife is such a Swiftie? And I don't remember like how he worded it. It was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I need to try to find tickets. But like at that point, he already knew that they were going. I'm like,
yeah, he's a little secret keeper. He's an actor.
What a guy.
He's a professional liar.
I just loved everything about the music video. Oh, did you see it?
I did see it. I think... Like a lot of, see, I wasn't like, I think Speak Now for me when it came out was probably like my peak of not being into Taylor Swift. Like, I just did not get, it was so girly. It was so like almost childish to me, but I can now, I reflect and I see like, okay, well she was a child. Like
that's, yeah. That's actually why I like Electric Touch the most, because the lyrics, it's like, it's such, it's going back to her like hopeless romantic days. You know what I mean? It's like, maybe this, it only has to work one time. Like maybe this is the one time that things are going to go right.
Yeah.
And that, it's like that desperation of like young love. Like I just felt Taylor back then. So that's why I love it.
I think like I liked Debut because it was fun. And then she became peak Taylor and Fearless, which was, that was fun too, because I loved Love Story. That was like a big frat banger for us back in the day. But I also was going through these, like Fearless and Enchanted, Sparks Fly. Wait, what the fuck
Speak
is it
now.
Called?
Speak Now.
Came out when I was in college. So I also felt like, I don't know why I was so, instead of it just embracing the girliness of it, I felt like it wasn't as cool for me. But
I think for the, I think why everything, even though you're closer in age, right? But everything comes out like 2 years later, right? So it's like she's writing, if she were, you were probably going through similar things as she's actually writing these things.
Yeah.
But by the time it comes out, I'm feeling those things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's why your generation of like, and well, we're in the same generation, but like maybe your age group, it hits so much harder because these feelings that she was feeling, it is more relatable to you, where we were like, okay, Love Story was just like really fun to fucking yell at the frats. Yeah. But I did like Sparks Fly when it came out, and I liked Mine because that one's like fun to sing. I did not get into Back to December or like all the moody ones like Haunted. Yeah, that was not me.
It's a banger.
That's
my favorite.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so funny because that's so you, and the girls that I'm seeing on TikTok that are like, oh my God, this was me back in the day. It was like all, you guys were all in high school. Mm-hmm. And like, this is the perfect kind of music to listen to when you're in high school.
But it's like the Haunted, I don't know if this is an actual thing that I'm about to say, but like the people who liked Haunted are the first people who also liked All Too Well. You know what I mean? Because it wasn't one of the, it wasn't one of the radio hits, but it was the emotion and like the drama.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's very, and then, but when she came out with Red, I really liked like 22 because I was like 23 when it came out. So I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm relating to this. And then We're Never Getting Back Together, fucking banger. I Knew You Were Trouble. Like all of those songs, like the radio poppy hits that you don't like, that I just loved.
Yeah.
But I didn't get into the deep cuts, you know.
The last thing that I wanted to point out about Taylor Swift is the John Mayer of it all. Because did you see his post?
No, what did he say?
So on...
Of course, he cannot just shut the fuck up.
Well, so it's just... It made me laugh a little bit. Because on July 7th, he did a show in Denver with Dave Matthews Band, your favorite.
Double trigger for you, Colorado. Truly. And Dave Matthews.
Colorado, Dave Matthews. Hey, John Mayer talking about Taylor Swift, like truly.
So like he didn't
kill me, beat
he
me,
didn't
stab
talk
me.
About Taylor Swift. However, there were a couple things that it was a very purple aesthetic, you know, Speak Now. The very last, it was a carousel. The very last picture said, please be kind. And then the very last sentence of his caption said, the afterglow is still shining bright. And I was like,
he cannot help himself. He cannot help himself.
So he's like, I know that Dear John just re-released, Please Be Kind to Me.
But like, here's the thing that I feel about John Mayer. And the one redeeming quality of John Mayer, can you guys guess for me?
His guitar playing skills?
Literally nothing.
Andy Cohen. That's it.
Oh,
it's the only redeeming quality. I'm not a big John Mayer girly. Like, I didn't want to walk through the halls of my high school when all that shit was going down. Like, that was like peak. All my friends love John Mayer. I'm just not that girly. I'm never going to be a fucking Dave Matthews girly ever. And he just shows time and time again how he treats women is fucking shitty. If you've ever read Jessica Simpson's book, he was horrible to her. And it's not like dangerous things where it's like, oh, this man is dangerous. But it's just like, wow, you fucking suck.
Yeah, so I actually am a John Mayer fan. Yeah, his music. I think
the fuck?
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before. Because it's like, you know, for a while, I think Claudia was like, I love Kim Kardashian, but I also like love Taylor Swift. And yeah. It's like, I love John Mayer, but like I love Taylor Swift. And it's like the same. I think he's so talented.
Obviously.
And I like that. I only like to listen to his music once in a blue moon, but still.
Yeah, respect. Like, no, he has great hits. Like after his Call Her Daddy interview came out, it made me want to listen to his songs. But
I'm fine with him because it's like growth, okay?
He has had zero growth.
Yes, he has.
What has he grown from?
He's at least acknowledged that he's been a womanizer, and it's like, I'm sorry I'm sorry that I was the way that I was.
Did you watch the same Call Her Daddy interview that I did? Because he was like mansplain.
Like you are right now.
How am I mansplaining? I'm a woman. But like the vibe he came off, it was just very arrogant. And it's like, yeah, I know. Like I used to be a shitty person, but like I am just so fucking smart. Like it's exactly how Jessica Simpson and Taylor Swift have described him. And I'm sure there's probably other people I'm forgetting. But Jessica Simpson, he always made her feel like just like not good enough. It's like, you have the potential. I see the potential in you, which it's like, oh, thank you so much for seeing the potential in me, King John Mayer. But then it's like, but you're just not there yet. You're not smart enough.
I think you're just like you have a lot of like feelings on the subject.
And you just haven't read Jessica Simpson's book.
No, for me, it's just like, I am always going to like John Mayer more than Jake Gyllenhaal. So like, I don't care.
Also, I'm sorry, but John Mayer was 32. Taylor Swift was 19.
Taylor Swift was 19.
Do you guys know that my ex-boyfriend was obsessed with John Mayer and he had one of John Mayer's concert on DVD and he'd put it on to go to sleep all the time.
That is traumatic.
Which one?
The good one. The good one.
Wow. That's shocking.
I know. So, oh, I thought you meant which concert of John Mayer. which boyfriend?
2004 tour.
Yeah, I think you guys, if you want to feel like the anger that I'm feeling, you need to read Jessica Simpson's book because she is just such an angel that has been like tormented from the media and he did nothing to fucking help that.
Yeah. Men.
Remember, she was sexual napalm. She's like, I don't want to be known as a sexual person. You're going on fucking radio talking about my sex life.
Justin Timberlake.
Justin motherfucking Timberlake. Don't even get me started. Okay, we don't have enough time
top off your body.
It's your podcast. Say what you want.
Literally, Justin Timberlake is just as bad, I think, because he did the same fucking shit to Britney. He lit that match and set the media aflame, and they just all tore Britney apart. And what did she do? Nothing. She shut the fuck up. Because she didn't want to be mean.
Well, and when she did talk, she had a very heartfelt interview with like Barbara Walters or something. And she's like,
Diane Sawyer.
And she's like crying. She was like, yeah.
Sawyer. She's like slut shaming her that entire fucking interview.
She's like, yeah, I fell in love with my boyfriend. And like, we did things. Like, so emotional.
No, I'm going to cry because she's like, okay. Okay, strong, Britney. Be strong, Britney. Like, she was going through the biggest breakup of her life in front of the entire world. There was no one bigger than Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake at that time. She was 21 years old. 21. Can you believe us? Like, who's like a 21-year-old now? I feel like Olivia Rodrigo is, 19? If we talked about Olivia Rodrigo the way we talked about Britney Spears, that would be fucked up. She's a child.
I'm so glad that we don't do that anymore.
I know. It's crazy. And side note, going back to John Mayer, I just want to say I'm 34. If one of my guy friends was dating a 19-year-old, I would be like, are you okay? She can't even fucking drink. She can't go to the bars with us. She's a child. And everyone's like, oh, no, but, oh, John Mayer's growth. No, that's fucking weird. I'm sorry.
I think I said that. I don't want you to put that on everybody. that was me.
It's so weird. I'm gonna take
responsibility for that
one. The other thing that's annoying about Justin Timberlake is that he's so, like, charming and charismatic. He's best friends with Jimmy Fallon. It's just why do you get to go on and be, like, this big personality?
Yeah.
Which I love watching. Like, I think it's so great. It's fun. Yeah. I'm the problem.
It's like, of course, when Justin Timberlake and Jimmy Fallon get together, they're two like charming, cute, funny guys. And it makes you forget.
It does.
For one small second, you forget what a shit turd twat. I was going to say twat, but I'm like, I don't know if I should say twat. But like, what a shithead Justin Timberlake was. And I guess like there is growth or whatever, but then he goes and like does shit. Like, I don't know. He still hasn't really like fully taken ownership for the Janet Jackson thing. I know he's done like one little...
You're so like
no, it's all like, the same thing.
It's just going from John Mayer to Justin Timberlake, John Mayer to Justin Timberlake.
Because these men get me fired up. They're two of my like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like angry because I'm on Prolon. But Justin Timberlake, the way he treated Britney, the way he treated Janet, bottom line, fucked up. If you need me to do a whole extra episode about why I hate Justin Timberlake, just let me know. I'm sure a lot of people aren't going to like this because if you don't, you don't know what you don't know. And I'm here to teach you why you should all hate Justin Timberlake.
Justice for JC.
Justice for JC.
All right. Anyways, I'm going to move this the fuck on.
Okay.
So we went to Blink. We went to Blink. Blink, Blink.
We did go to Blink. It was really fun. Travis Barker is a savage. We know that.
He's a savage. I had such a good time. I really loved the banter between Mark and Tom. It was very like
vintage.
Yep, very vintage. Mark made all of us cry.
Oh my God. That was, I also probably, okay, so Mark brought up how he had cancer and he beat cancer and he was like, I never thought I would be able to tour again and I'm so grateful to be here
and
now.
He said like when he was going through chemo there were days that he felt like he was gonna die and then there was days that he wished that he would die and he was like, so this song is hopefully a light to all of you out here who are struggling and feeling something, like there is a light at the end of whatever you're going through.
Guys, no, I'm Bailey's gonna cry.
And then they started playing Adam's song and Jade and I were just like, ah, I'm crying.
I know, that one was good. I really liked, obviously, I Miss You. That was like, Tom was like, all right, I want you guys to sing this part. We're all like, where are you? And our little emo hearts just like burst. I'm sure Paige's burst even more because she was like the biggest emo girly.
I know. I was waiting the entire set for First Date.
Oh, yeah. You kept saying they're going to play First Date.
This is going to be First
Date. Well, they saved like their best songs for the last like four songs. But it was crazy. Like, imagine the career they've had. They're just like some guys from San Diego. They just happened to meet Travis Barker because Travis Barker was playing with another band. They met him. They're like, hey, do you want to like play with us? And then they turned into Blink 182, one of the biggest pop punk bands of all time. And we still like all the small things. I loved
that. So it's just the three of them, right? And Travis, you know, doing his thing on the drums. I think it was Mark went over to Travis while he's in the middle of a drum solo, puts a towel over his head. And so he's just playing the drums blind. And he's just doing it. They're just like kind of fucking with him. And they'd be like, hey, who wants to hear Travis talk? And then they like go over and Travis is like, what's up, Austin?
And everyone's like,
like everyone's just weak in the knees.
Yeah, it's so funny because those two banter the whole time and Travis literally said, hi, what's up, Austin? That's it. And everyone just freaks the fuck out. But it was funny because Tom did address that. He's like, you know, a couple years ago,
everyone thought I was crazy.
Yeah. And he's like, but there's two people here that like actually believed in me. And it was some guy from like Lockheed Martin and some other guy.
And like the National Defense or something.
But they like actually believed in him.
And then they like went into the song Aliens Exist. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was funny. I like it.
It was good. Respect. The whole song, I mean, the whole show, you recognized like 90% of the songs.
There was one of the songs, I think it was the third or fourth song that I know that you didn't know because they did it. It was on their live show album. Mm-hmm. And it's like the shit as fuck.
Oh, I know. I know that one.
And I was not expecting that to happen so early on at the beginning. And I was like, this is going to be a great show.
You know, I definitely have heard that one.
Overall,
shit, piss, cock, suck,
shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cock, sucker, motherfucker, shit, tits, fart, turd, and twat.
Yeah.
I fucked your mom. It's like a quick little, anyways, overall, they still got it.
We had a great time.
Fucking got it. Barley, what's up with you?
Oh my God. I feel like I don't even have anything to say, first of all. And second of all, you guys have already been like going off a lot and I can already tell that it's going to be a very heated conversation about the Kardashians.
Did you watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have the least hot take on it because Paige was getting like kind of mad.
And
like,
I'm not going to,
I think. I don't know.
Okay. So let's just intro this. So The Kardashians, the latest episode, Kourtney and Kim finally sit down to hash out the Dolce & Gabbana argument.
It's deeper than Dolce.
And so Paige calls me the other day and she's like, did you see what a fucking loser Kourtney is?
I thought we were finally going to be, I thought we were going to take the same thing away and that it was going to be like we were finally coming together.
It actually brought us apart. I like know. we dipped our little toe, like we were just inches away from getting into an actual sister fight over it. And so we wanted Bailey to be like the neutral force. You watched it. You didn't hear anything about my thoughts or Paige's thoughts.
Well, I got an earful of Paige after.
Okay. So what was your initial thoughts?
My initial thought is that if this case was brought to trial, like if we're in a judge, like a courtroom impartial thing, Kim would win the, like she would be awarded like whatever, right? Because she has her facts. She did whatever. She is her side of the street.
She's a lawyer.
I also don't think Kourtney is a loser. And I also like feel that it's okay for Kourtney to have her feelings too. Like,
yeah,
that's why there's feelings. It's not like cut and dry. And Paige is like, so disgusted by Kourtney, probably even more so the second time watching it. She was so mad. And anytime I would like point counterpoint, like just say anything, Paige is like, no, 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 that's not what she said. And that's not, I don't even think that's what she meant by
Paige
it.
Is such a Kim, because Kim was trying to make,
she Kourtney, was trying to reason, understand and
she
reason.
She was trying to create logic out of something that is not logical. It is purely feelings, and Kourtney's trying to help give her logic to why she's upset, and she couldn't do it because her, point blank, Kourtney's feelings were just hurt.
And if Kourtney would have said that, she wins. There's nothing, there's no facts that Kim could say, because it doesn't matter what the facts are. Kim could lay it all out. Everything could have gone down on paper perfectly, but Kourtney's feelings are still hurt.
But it's like, but then, but she didn't say, I know, but then it's, people want to know why her feelings are hurt. So she's trying to tell you why, but like, then Kim's like, well, I had Andre Bocelli and I got married in Italy. And Kourtney's like, cool, that's not the issue.
But to Kim's credit, she didn't even throw, like, she didn't even say that to Kourtney. She did
because
that on the side.
Because it's irrelevant to the, because, the story.
But it is relevant. It's not. No, the reason why it is, because it's, if you're going to try to claim a designer, you know, like, if you're going to try to claim that, then, like, honestly, if I were Kim, she's a bigger person than me, because I would have thrown out the, no, I claim Italy.
Paige, you would be psychotic in this fight if you were the, but the main point is that Kourtney said, when she was sitting down with Dolce & Gabbana to design her wedding, that she wanted the archives from the 90s. And Dolce & Gabbana was like, oh, we'll put you in our new stuff, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, 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 this is my specific vision. I want it to be super, like, Catholic, Italian, 90s archive. So she, in her mind, feels like she cultivated that vibe. And then to see Kim be the creative director of this 90s revival archive situation, I think that's what hurt her feelings. And it's like, okay, well, I'm trying to be my own person, and then you are capitalizing on me being my own person.
Except for the fact that some of those looks that Kim had, that's why they asked Kim to do this in the first place, before the wedding. Yes,
they asked Kim to do it because Kim is one of the most famous women in the world, and she was wearing the shit at Kourtney's wedding.
But
it doesn't make sense to have Kourtney be the creative director. It makes sense to have Kim be the creative director. So it doesn't make sense.
But here's the other thing. The reason Kourtney just like truly has no legs to stand on at all, because she's just, all she needed to do was say, bottom line, my feelings are hurt, because Kylie did a campaign after the wedding,
but
before Kim, no one fucking cares about that.
Because
that's not fair.
That that's totally different, and I think that it's very normal for Kourtney to not be as mad at Kylie.
Because Kylie's the little sis.
That's what I said, and Paige was like, that doesn't matter.
No, it does matter.
Kim's a little sis, too.
No, they're 18 months apart.
It's just a little. It's like, it's so different. They were teenagers, adults. I think they were like 20 when they're like 20 years older than Kylie.
Okay, but the whole point is, everyone knows that this Kim thing wasn't orchestrated by Kim. The whole partnership, the business partnership, is with Chris. Chris is the one doing the deals for Kylie, doing the deals for Kim. Like, yes, you specifically chose Dolce & Gabbana as your wedding designer, knowing that your mom has this partnership with Dolce, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she willingly went into that. She had to have known
that there were chances that her sisters were going to do things with Dolce at one point or another.
Yes. And I think that's why Courtney acknowledges, like, I wouldn't want you to not do it. It just, like, I think it hurt her feelings. I think Kim needed to be a little bit more communicative, because I think that Kim thought she was, but Courtney was like, but you said this, you didn't say, like, explicitly.
What I think is that Courtney didn't catch up, like, in processing her feelings enough to realize that, like, maybe, like, her feelings were hurt by actions of her sister. So she was like, okay, so Kim did something wrong. It couldn't be like, okay, you technically didn't do anything wrong, but, like, my feelings are still hurt, because both things can be true at the same time. But that's hard to not go from point A, Kim did this, point B, my feelings are hurt, to think, okay, then Kim hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
But I think that they just didn't have that conversation.
I think it's also, like, one of those things when you like a boy in high school and then your friend finds out that, like, oh, well, maybe I could kiss that boy too. And then you're like, no, 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 it's totally fine. They're like, okay, are you sure? And you're like, yeah. And then they go kiss the boy. And then you're like, wait, I'm actually way more upset about this, but I don't have a right to be mad about it, because all I did was like this boy. We never had a relationship, but now, like, I'm upset.
I said that exact same thing
you to did? Paige. Yes. And what did she say?
Tell what you said, Kua. Just kidding.
What did I say?
No, you agreed that it's like, no, it's one did illogical. Anything wrong, but you can still have the feelings from it.
And I think the biggest thing here is that Kim said she would be upset if she was Courtney.
Yeah, except I also think that we need to go back. The biggest thing to me is that Courtney just keeps, like, backtracking, and it's, like, so annoying. She's like, at first it's like, well, I didn't even know this was happening. And Kim's like, yeah, because I called you and blah, blah, blah. And Kim's like, should I have called you and said, how would you feel about this, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, I don't need you to ask for my permission. Well, are you kidding? And then 2 minutes later, she goes, no one even called to ask how I would feel about it. And it's like, you can't say one thing and then literally in the same breath contradict yourself. Like, just say you don't understand your own feelings and that your feelings are hurt. That's all you have to say.
She wasn't ready for that. And Paige just also hates Courtney in this episode. So she can't. I know.
It's like, it truly is like fighting with Paige. It's like fighting with Kim. They just are like little bulldogs. Like, well, I said this. And then it's like, it puts you off guard a little bit. And you're like, wait, no, I don't mean it like that. And then, like, okay, for instance, in that example, Courtney's saying, no, you don't need to ask my permission. But then her saying, like, nobody called to, like, talk to me about it. Those are, to me, they're two different things. It's like, no, you don't need to ask my permission, but, like, as a sister, why don't you call to check up on me and be like, hey, like, I got this opportunity. I really want to do it because of this. I know it's going to step on your toes. Like, how do you feel about it? I'm going to do it anyways, but how the fuck do you feel about it?
I think the meanest thing that Courtney said was that she was saying that it's, like, what is it, just about the money?
Yeah.
And then also saying that she thinks Kim needs to look inward about why she feels like she needs to do because this kind of stuff.
They were trying to, like, it wasn't about the fight. Yeah. Like, Courtney realized that she did not actually have legs in that argument. And so instead of, again, just all of her legs would be taller than Kim's if she just said, my feelings are hurt. But instead, she could not acknowledge that. She could not admit to that. So then she wants to try to make Kim feel like an asshole. And she's like, you know what? You need to think about this. You don't need to answer right now, but just think about, look inward. Why do you feel like you need to do this? Like, the money? And Kim's like, I wanted to challenge myself. Like, I thought this was doing something for me personally. And she's like, no, I'm going to say it again. I think you need to look in. And it's like, I would have just.
Well, it's like a total sister fight. Like, once she, like, felt like she was not winning the fight, she had to, like, fucking, like, hit her where she thought it hurt. Because I think Kim probably is sensitive about people thinking that she's only doing things for money.
But it's like, she doesn't need to do that anymore. She has the money.
Yeah, so it's like, why did you do it?
Because she wanted to do it. She hasn't done it before. She thought she was bettering her career.
And I got that, like, Kim.
It's called thing, growth.
Clearly. I get it, because I think Kim does want to crawl out of Kanye's shadows on her own by doing this. But I also think, like, Kim is bigger than creative directing a show for Dolce & Gabbana.
But it's like, how do you know you're bigger than that if you've never done it before?
So true.
You know?
So true. Wow, you just won the argument.
Congratulations, Paige.
Thank you.
She wasn't going to let it go until she won. And you won.
And you win.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Anyway. Dolce is Chris's partnership. Her notes, like, she's literally writing in all caps.
Okay.
You're crazy.
Before we get into our listener stories, I know that we've had a lot to talk about today. I know. Should you give Bailey the lowdown on Jonah Hill?
Yeah.
Because I have one thing that I have to say, one thing I wrote down to say about it.
Okay.
I've only, like, very tangentially seen.
Tangentially.
Yeah, seen what's happened. I only read one screenshot.
For those listeners at home who may not know, what does tangentially mean?
Like,
for the listeners,
not us.
Yeah, not us. Well, because we know.
We definitely know what tangentially means. But for them, what does it mean?
Like, I haven't gotten in it. I've just, like, dipped my little toe.
Okay. Oh.
First of all, look at this picture of Jonah Hill and his ex. Like, yeah. this is
I do
jail,
like,
for both of them.
Every picture that has been posted about it is that picture.
It's like, it's not that bad for him, but for her, it's just like, it's not the vibe. But
it's
not, like,
great for him.
Yeah. So, okay, for the listeners, this Jonah Hill's ex-girlfriend, Sarah Brady, who's a surfer. She lives in Orange County, or she's from Orange County, San Clemente area. She started posting the texts from Jonah Hill saying, like, basically the bottom line of the texts were him saying, I don't like when you are posing with guys. I don't like when you have your ass out on Instagram. Like, if you can't, if all of this stuff is something that you feel like you need to do, then I'm not the partner for you.
Well, but it also, the way he's texted it, it was literally like, my boundaries or something like, yeah, that, or like my whatever. And then he listed out what Jade was saying, like, just,
yeah,
list, and it's like, whoa, okay, continue.
So she starts posting all these pictures of texts, and they broke up over a year ago.
Oh, really?
So I was confused because I'm like, wait, I thought he just had a baby with this girl, but this is an ex from over a year ago. And I guess, so when him and this girl, Sarah Brady, broke up, he got together with this Olivia girl really quickly, and they had a baby. They got pregnant very quickly, and they just had a baby. So that's important to note because they just had a baby, and Sarah's just posting this shit again.
Okay.
So it's a little shady.
Oh, so she did she post it when they first broke up?
So,
but no one cared.
So this girl that I follow, or I don't follow her, I used to follow her. Her name is House and Habit. She gets a little, like, too deep divey for me. Like, she likes to get in the weeds. When the whole Free Britney thing was going on, she was, like, going to the courthouse every day. And it's just like, I don't need that energy. I just want the cliff notes. And she did a really good job at cliff notes, not getting too in the dirt with it, or like making really weird claims about anyone. It was just like, hey, here's what happened. So she's actually from Orange County too. So she has a lot of mutual friends with this girl because they're in the surf community. And that's a huge point of contention between Jonah Hill and Sarah, because I guess she was like having inappropriate relationships with men in Jonah's eyes, like,
right,
he probably, it was crossing the line for him. And I can see that, you know, like when you're a girl's girl, you're surfing with the boys, and it's just like, it's not the vibe he would want. It's not the vibe I would want for my guy. If my guy was like hanging out with girls all the time, what, we surf together, like, no, I'm sorry, fuck no, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Okay, so wait, why did you do this?
Well, I don't know if you're gonna get to it, but the only, I agree almost. The only thing that I say is that he knew that she was a surfer beforehand. He knew, like, there were certain things that he liked about her pictures before they started dating. And I think that is the piece to me that is unfair.
Totally.
That's all I have to say.
Totally. But I think it's also, when you're in a relationship, there's certain things that you should do to make the other person comfortable.
Yeah, but, like, you don't have to change the type of bathing suit you wear.
Right. No. You know? That's like the part. Yeah. Okay. So she posted this. So this is a screenshot of her stories last year, right after they actually broke up. And she said, I've got to stop falling for effeminate men with mommy issues. You guys, it's not working out well for me, but they're just so cute and needy and helpless. Ugh, I can't help myself. She's like, that's kind of rude. Fucking bitchy.
That's so rude.
And it's like, effeminate men. That's like a dig.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Well, effeminate men with mommy issues, like, that is only intended to be a dig.
Yeah. So she's also like saying that he, so her, she's really peeved in these screenshots from last year that he started dating this girl, and she felt like he was also flirting with her right before he got with this girl, but he was like, I just was like being a friend and reaching out to you. And like they showed screenshots and she's like, you're sexting me. And he was like, what? I literally never sexted you. Like it sounded like she was kind of being a little crazy girl at the end of it. But let me pull up some more.
I'll just say that for her to post and then repost a year later that she doesn't want to fall for effeminate men, I'm going to read that as he was being emotional and like trying to state his boundaries and like state his emotional needs.
That goes into what I have to say.
And that's like, and she's calling him a misogynist, but that's, it's, you know, it's of the same note. It's in the same
vein. So Jonah said, all these text messages that she's posting, it's like she posted them online for the world to see, which is, I think, so highly fucking disgusting and weird and inappropriate. Because in this one, he said, I know I don't need to, but in the spirit of pure respect to our friendship and appreciation for each other, I did want to be transparent that I did start dating someone recently. I'm sorry if that is painful. It just happened, and I didn't want to not be transparent with you, as I care about you. And she goes, thanks for letting me know. Probably best if we don't talk for a while and you figure out where that's headed. And he goes, I appreciate and understand that. And she goes, impressive turnaround, by the way. And she goes, couldn't help myself. Boy man sent me a heart 7 days ago. Stupid idiot. I don't know if he sent like a heart. Like a heart doesn't really mean.
Sent a heart or like a like.
Either way, it's like, does that matter? Like a heart just like. Heart just means like sending love. Like clearly he still cares about her as a person.
Well, and it's like, you know, there are times when people are dating multiple people, like, you know, take kind of like The Bachelor, right? But like, you know, for regular people, it's like you're dating a couple people and then all of a sudden like one of them takes the lead and you, and then you decide, okay, I want to be exclusive with this one person. Yeah. Like that's how, but that's what dating is.
Yeah.
You know?
And so she screenshotted more texts from him and he said, and not only is it not your business, as I only mentioned it to you out of respect and friendship, but I have not been flirting with you or sexting you in any way where it would be inappropriate at this time to start dating someone. And if anything, I have felt for your change and tried to be a good and supportive friend as you transition to a scary new environment. And to be crystal clear, okay, and to be crystal clear, I've not flirted or sexted with you in any way, shape, or form. Right? Yeah. And I want to say goodbye to you as a super kind gesture, and you seem to have appreciated because it was kind. I'm sorry if it's upsetting that I would move on. So, it's just like, it seems... Okay, so here's another thing. So it seems like the main point of their breakup was that she was moving up in her career. She's only, I think, 25 at this point. And so she really wanted to be, like, putting her surfing stuff out there, like, be surfing all the time with whoever the fuck she wants to surf with, being ingrained into the surf community, posting these pictures, whatever. And so he said, all I want in life is to be a family person and start a family. So that is and will be my immediate goal. I respect that yours is your career and respect it deeply. I hope we both get what we want. So basically what he's saying to me, that says this life that you're living is not like helpful to my goal. Like it seems like we both have different goals. Like because she wrote, so apparently I can't have a family and a career. Okay. Well, it's like, well, you're not doing things that like maybe seem like you want to have a family.
Or, like, not in the same way that he would want to have, like, right. He pictures having a family in his...
Well, and it's kind of like, you know, let's go back to the Kardashians, right? Yeah. It's like, Kourtney always wanted the family, right? So she started her family first, and Kim wanted the business side of things first. And then when Kim got to a point where she was like, okay, I really liked that I put all of my time, energy, and effort into my business. Now, I still want to be a working mom, but I want to, you know, carve out. I don't want to put all of my effort in there. Now I'm ready for family. It's like, right. You can do both. It's just where you want your effort to go. It's like, if you want it to be all in your career, that's totally fine. And then eventually, if you want a career and a family, then it's like, you have to parse out what, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Like you have to carve out like the different effort.
And even like there's a lot of different ways to have a family and all the families look different. If one partner wants their family to look a certain way or to behave like a certain way, that's how they picture it, and that's how they would want to like bring children into the world, then that's okay to have preferences.
Yeah. So this, I think that text was a response to, so she said this to him after he told her about the woman he's dating.
The woman.
She said, not that it's really my business, but out of my own personal chicks before dicks code, if that's headed anywhere other than hookup or fling, I'd appreciate if you make that woman aware of how recently you've been flirting with me, sexting me, and leaning on me for partner level emotional support. And he goes, I'm sorry, what? So that's why I think when he started saying that he's never flirted or sexted with her, like, I think that's what he means. It just seems like she's like a little emotionally immature for him.
It meant something different to her than it did to him.
Yeah. And I just think it's like point blank, why are you posting these texts? Why did you post them to begin with right after you guys broke up? You were clearly just trying to hurt him in his new relationship. Like, what are you trying to get from it besides clout? Like, go talk to your friends, go talk to your therapist, bitch about it to every other person in the world. But like, I don't believe your texts, breakup texts, should be public, no matter if you're famous or not famous.
Yeah,
I agree. And so someone who has had mental health issues, me, I've really appreciated Jonah Hill with not only the like Netflix show, like with his therapist and everything, mm-hmm. but as I don't know if you listen to it or not, but it's called Meaningful Existence. And he has that, it was on Dax Shepard, you know, like that prophet.
I don't listen to that one.
Okay. So Jonah Hill plays this prophet, and it's a joke. It's a joke thing. It's supposed to be kind of like this cult, but mm-hmm. the whole like mission around this company is like to destigmatize mental health through a partnership with BetterHelp, and the company will donate 3% of all of the sales to nonprofits and initiatives that support therapy resources and mental health services. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's been such a big thing in his recent, you know, journey. Yeah. And I appreciate that so much. And it just seems like all of this is, it's not fair, because like I said, there's certain pieces of it that I can pick out, like him commenting on the type of bathing suit that she's wearing. And like
he's obviously not 100% right in this situation.
Exactly. Exactly. But I just think that I don't want all of this to turn away from like Jonah and all of like the work in progress that he's putting, like the spotlight he's putting on mental health mm-hmm. right now. Because I appreciate that. So, and I just think that this girl is still, I think she feels like she lost or something. You know what I mean? And she still feels hurt that she wasn't the one that, I don't know, that got the girlfriend title or something.
Yeah.
I think that it's really similar to Kim and Courtney's fight, where she was taken, like her takeaway from the relationship, the breakup, she felt bad about it. She didn't like the way it went down. She didn't like the way that he was saying that he doesn't really like the bathing suits she wears, or that she always hangs mm-hmm. out with guys, and she's thinking that perhaps a man shouldn't tell me that I should do this or shouldn't like, do this.
So controlling. Saying,
exactly. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he did something so wrong that everyone needs to be warned about him, because your partner is allowed to express preferences and boundaries. And if it's not how you want to be treated or not how you like your beliefs don't align, that's okay. You can walk away from that and know, okay, in my next partner, I definitely don't want him to make one comment about what bathing suit I choose to wear.
Yeah.
Good. Then choose a partner that isn't going to say that, you know?
And it seemed to me that for the most part, there was clear communication.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, I appreciate that. I really, it's okay if things don't work out. But I think there was really clear communication on his end about, this is what's going on. Like, I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings.
Yeah.
Like, I apologize, but this is what's happening in my current situation. And I think that was,
it kind of seemed like he kept saying the same thing over and over again, and she still couldn't get it. Cause he's like, cause in the text that she showed, he was kind of being a dick. He's like, plain and simple, this is what it is. And it's almost like, she is such a free bird that she like doesn't understand how like that could maybe be something that he doesn't want to be around, and he doesn't want to have to deal with like the insecurities that come with your partner posting themselves online. And like, me and Mr. Roberts have conversations about this all the time, because I talk about like ex-boyfriends, breakups, stuff like, you know, I was married, and it's like, where is that line for you? And like, because I want, like, he is my priority. So like, nothing, it doesn't mean, like, my priority is not posting shit online. Mm-hmm. Online right. is fake. Online is not my priority. And if something makes him upset, then it's not worth me posting it online. Like, right. is it worth me like making fun of like something from my past if it's gonna like upset somebody who I love? No. So I think that's just like the difference in where they were at in their relationship. Like, and she's also only 25, which like,
but being 20, like, these private messages are now on the internet for everyone to see. We only have the context of the messages
of
that
we received, of what we saw. See.
Yeah. Of what we have seen. And that's, she knows what that will do. Like, that's yeah. so shady.
That's so shitty.
Talk about mental health. That's so bad for someone's mental health.
Yeah. Like, what is, I don't understand. Like, her doing that just makes her look like, she keeps calling him a narcissist and all of that. Like, you kind of seem like a narcissist. Wait, did I say that right? Narcissist?
Yeah.
Did I say narcissist?
I don't think so. Okay.
She kind of seems like a narcissist by doing that, by like having no regards for any other person in this situation, including like a baby that's born. And you are just putting out texts for what? Like, it's, he's not like abusing you. He's not Army Hammer. It's not like any of this shit. So what the fuck are you doing
besides? What's the point?
There's no point here. Like,
he's no Justin Timberlake. We don't need to burn him at the stake.
Well, it's also like, he's not being like Justin Timberlake. Justin Timberlake literally like, in, he invited the media to talk about Britney Spears. Right. Jonah's, from what I have seen, is not inviting the media to talk about this girl. This girl is inviting the media to talk about him and her. It's like, leave the fucking world out of it. Like, everyone online, you don't need to, and this is coming from me who's talked about her breakup multiple times, but I'm not also not like showing the guy's texts.
You don't even say the name of your current boyfriend who you only say lovely things about. We right. have very special code words. Yeah. Yeah, Paige is just going to say everyone's name.
But it's like, it's just that really, and I saw somebody like, I think it was like Teffy. She was like, I can't believe people are defending Jonah. And it's not like I'm defending Jonah or anything. I don't know Jonah from Adam. But like, I also think it's so fucking shitty that people have gotten into this like, okay, well, if you're going to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And I'm going to post shit online. Like,
yeah.
It's such a like a big responsibility to have an online presence. And I think she doesn't deserve to have one. Well,
and it's weaponizing a movement in a conversation that is such a good, important thing for yes. people to talk about, for women to talk about, and to weaponize it in a way that isn't, to our knowledge, really a very important thing. It's not a public safety announcement that she's trying yeah. to make. It's not a industry she's trying to take down and change. It's one person who she wants bad things to happen to.
Yeah, and it's like, it's, and it's not done in a way where it's like, and then this is what I learned from it. It's like, it's, it seems very manic. All of her messages are like, so like screenshot. And it's a bunch of screenshots of people who are like, oh my gosh, girl, so happy that you got out of that. Like, why are you sharing that too? Like, why do you need to share that on the internet?
Keep it in the group chat.
Keep it in the fucking group chat.
Yeah. And then your friends are going to say, yeah, that's, I'm so glad that you're not with that partner anymore. You are in the right. I would not want to have a partner that's telling me that I can't wear those bathing suits or that I can't do this, which I would say that to, if this exact same thing was happening to my friend, where I could like to think about Jonah in a certain way and her in a certain way, but I know what she needs to hear in that moment, mm-hmm. I would probably say, I'm so glad that you're out of that situation. That was probably not great for you.
Yeah.
Privately, without having to have like the larger implications of the entire internet for a famous person.
Yeah. And I think just for the sisters' takeaway, I think it's okay to have conversations with your partner over what each other are comfortable posting online. Like, why is that not like a, why is it like, oh, this man's trying to control me, or oh, this girl's trying to control me? Like, if Mr. Roberts was posting pictures with girls' tits in his face, I'd be like, okay, that's like actually not cool for me.
Well, but I think that that would be, the only thing I have to say about that is, if you met Mr. Roberts and his life before you was tits in his face, then I think, and if that was like
his like, brand. You know what I mean?
Like, Instagram presence was...
Yeah, if he was like Mr. Tit, like...
But if he wants to be with me, I'd be like, we have to end Mr. Tits.
Well, you can right, see but Mrs. it's like, Tits. I'm saying like this girl is a surfer and it's like, oh, I don't want you to post these like thong bikinis. It's like that actually like is what she's trying to do for her career type thing. Yeah, you can't
alter someone.
Yeah, you can't change that. I guess
you can express that you have... You can express the way it makes you feel, and then that's a different conversation of, mm-hmm. I'm still going to do this. So if you really can't have your partner posting these things, and I really want to post these things, then it's just an incompatibility thing.
Because what if Mr. Roberts was like, Jade, I totally love you. I want to be with you. But like, I just would feel better if you just got rid of your social media.
Oh, then that wouldn't work for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then I would leave. I'd be like, oh my gosh, that sucks. Like,
yeah.
He just wasn't cool with me having social media.
And that's
like that's point. The crux of the whole issue.
Yeah.
Exactly. Should we get into listener stories? I feel like we should. This is chatty, really. Kathy.
I feel like everyone's going to freaking love it.
Probably.
You want to know what I am craving right now?
What?
I want each of you to each get one guess.
Wait, let's send a picture to Mr. Roberts because he asked what we're doing.
Flaming Hot Cheetos.
No, don't say that. I'm on Prolon.
Oh, well then, I don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say.
The answer's In-N-Out.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Because we were talking about Animal Style.
I know.
Animal Style? We were
You wouldn't understand. Okay, here I go.
Okay.
So, I don't know what episode this would fall under, but it is kind of a funny story and I need some advice. So my freshman year of college, I met this boy. We'll call him Luca. Anyway, I meet him at an event for our club co-ed soccer teams. Our schools are about an hour or so apart, and our teams became friendly, and we become friends with benefits a few months after meeting.
Whoa.
Fast forward to... Are you judging? Whoa.
I said whoa.
Oh, are you judging her?
No.
Fast forward 2 years, and this past summer, he transferred to a school a few states away. We stayed in contact and continued to hook up when we were in the same place, but not as regularly as before. Anyways, about a year after he moved away, I started talking to this other guy who we'll call Connor.
Oh, sexy.
That went to Luca's old school. Connor was on the same club soccer team, and we had known of each other for a few years, but we didn't get close until then. So after we became friends with benefits, hanging out every weekend, but we're not actually dating, whatever, I just found out that all three of us will be starting out at a small company, sports management, of like 10 people. Oh, so all three of them are going to be on the same team of 10. They're a third of this entire company. as soon as they'll graduate. They've made plans to share an apartment, and both of them have asked me to move in with them separately.
What?
They don't know about the fact that I've been consistently hooking up with both of them. This is literally my dream job, and I'm so excited, but I really don't know what to do. Have I mentioned that housing is extremely expensive, and the town we are all moving to has one nice apartment, so the best option for me right now is to live with them.
No.
Anyway, they still don't know, and I have a month to figure it out, so if you could help, that'd be great.
Okay, I understand that finances are so important, but if this is your dream job, I think you have to cut off the hooking up with them, and I think you cannot live with them.
No.
When you say there's only one nice apartment, I'm thinking apartment complex.
I think so too.
So I think that you can still get a one bedroom in that complex if that's the nice, like safe complex. You do not live with them. You do not live with them.
No, you cannot.
But you are maybe going to have like a, you know, hey guys, let's go get pizza. Like, since we're all going to work together and we make up one third of this company, like, let's just get it all out in the open. You would do
that at pizza?
Yeah. I'm not going to do it just on an empty stomach.
Yeah. You love having hard conversations over
food. I'm going to make sure, maybe I'm just conditioned to do it that way.
You're like, hard conversation, chewies.
Because I think that they would be a little, because if you personally don't address it head on, they will talk.
Yeah,
that's true. They are going to talk. They are going to live together. And then one of them is eventually going to... You said that they both individually were like, hey, you should move in with us. Like, You have to just... The elephant in the room, get it out.
I don't think that you need to have this conversation at the same time. I think it's better to do it, like, one-on-one private. Like, hey,
you know, we had a past. I'm really excited about my career. I'm really focused on it. And I just want to let you know, I'm not going to let us get in the way of it. Also,
I hooked up with your roommate.
While you were gone, me and Luca kind of had a thing. Connor and Luca.
She gets to talk to both of them.
And so, like, I'm going to have this same conversation with him. But I just want you guys to know, like, I want to be friends. But, like, this is the boundary. But you can't cross it either.
You cannot hook up with them again.
So you have to create the boundary. And trust me, it's going to seem like you're the only three people in this town. And, like, what's a girl to do on a lonely night? But, like, trust me, you cannot cross that boundary.
Don't do it.
And you'll seem cooler, too, if you're the one that says it first. Like, yeah, none of us were serious. It was just very casual. And right now I'm not interested in doing anything casually. I really want to focus on my career and I don't want to muddy the waters here. So we're all three going to agree to keep it in our pants and not live together. And I'll see you at the water cooler.
Yep.
You can just take that clip.
I think the main point here is, like, you need to set the line and do not cross it.
You need to set the line. I think it's totally fine if you want to do it individual conversations, or honestly, I'm the type of person, rip off that fucking band-aid. Let's do it all together. Let's have some pizza and fucking beer. Like, I would do it that way.
You guys are doing pizza, beer, like, and things are getting crazy. And now you're a throuple.
It's
either you cut off the romantic things with them and stand by it, or you guys all have to be a throuple.
Or you pitch the idea of being a throuple and then they won't want anything to do with you. Problem solved.
And then you're like, all right, see you at the water cooler.
The only way this will happen is if this happens. Yeah.
I want to know how that combo goes.
That is really hard, though, because when you are so young out of college, like, you really have to set some boundaries because you guys are all, like, young and horny and, like, hooking up.
But it is really, like,
What
are the odds that all three of them got a job at the same really small company?
They must all be just, like, really good at what they do.
Well, they must all play, like, the same sport or something.
They do. Yeah. They all play soccer. Oh. That was the whole reason they met.
Paige is like, let me put the clues together.
Sorry. Forgot that part. Idiot.
Okay. Next one. This is about not a girl's girl.
They all play soccer.
Yeah. They all play the same sport. It's crazy. Okay. Hey, sisters.
Hello.
Hi.
So this story is about a difficult girl I have to deal with. I'll try to make this as short as possible.
What's her name, Paige?
Let's call her Jade. We're calling her Sarah, and her boyfriend's name is Jake. Okay. Basically, Jake and Sarah have gone to school together their whole lives and have always had a thing for each other, and everyone has known it. Jake eventually transferred schools and came to my school, and that's where we met. We started dating our senior year of high school, and 4 years later, we're still together. Throughout our relationship, Sarah has always flirted with him on nights out. We're all still in the same social circle. Whether she's asking him to play Pong, talking to him a lot and not talking to me, Snapchatting him, he doesn't answer, having him on her private story, etc. I made it clear to my boyfriend that I didn't like or trust her. I trust my boyfriend and don't think anything would happen. I just don't like how this girl disrespects me all the time. He also doesn't really see what I'm talking about, because girls' sly moves go way over guys' heads.
Oh my God. Guys are stupid. Is that not the truth?
Yeah. Throughout all of this, I remained friendly with Sarah. I even went to her birthday party of like 10 girls and drove her to a cabin trip. Sarah and I are friends with the same people, but we are not besties by any means. I would have considered us somewhat friends. Jake and I went through a rough patch and broke up for a few months about a year ago.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Whilst we were broken up, I heard that Sarah and Jake started Snapchatting, and she even started sliding into his Instagram DMs. I was very upset by this because at the time we followed each other's TikToks of like 15 people where I'd be posting videos about my breakup, being sad and how hard it was, and she would be liking them while she was literally trying to slide in on him. When I heard all this, I blocked her on everything because I was so angry. I didn't want to see anything to do with her. She ended up messaging me a big paragraph basically saying, I don't know what I did to get myself involved, but I hope you can see I'm a girl's girl and I don't want you to think poorly of my character. Blah, blah, blah. I answered with a few words just saying, all right, don't worry about it. Fast forward to present day, Jake and I have been back together for over a year. We're constantly with Sarah's friend group every weekend, and I get the cold shoulder from her and all of her friends, and it really sucks. They have no problem talking to the other girls in my group or even my boyfriend Jake. I'm trying to come to peace because I'm sick and tired of getting glared at and ignored every time I go out. I invited Sarah and her friends to my 4th of July party, but they didn't come, and I tried to make small talk with her last weekend as well, and she would just walk away. This is so annoying for me, and I don't know how to fix it. Any advice on what to do? Is it worth trying to fix, or how to accept the fact that I can't be friends with every girl? P.S. I'm super non-confrontational.
Oh, well then... Okay, I have to put myself in that mindset.
I think that what you need to do is you've got to let this ride out, because I think that
this has been going on for years.
I know, but like, they have the same group of friends. I think that you just need to not worry about them. I know it's really hard when you're around them. I think you need to just focus on the friends that you do have, and I would stop trying to be friends with her, but like, make it her problem. Like, if she wants to join in on the conversation or not, that's on her. But like, don't disclude her from something, but also don't keep going out of your way to like say hi to her. But like, you're not going to be able to fix this. It's going to have to be like one of those things where maybe in a couple years from now, you guys are like, hey, that was stupid.
I also think that you need to tell Jake to like get in on the game. He's your ride or die. He has to not be mean, but not be engaging with her either. Yeah. If you want to talk to Jake, if you're so obsessed with him, then you have to talk to the listener. You know,
well, because if he doesn't see it, you need to make him see it. You need to say, oh, when this happens, this is what I'm talking about. When this happens, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Sarah behaves this way when everyone else behaves this way. Like, you kind of need to paint that picture so he can eventually see what you've been saying for years. You know what I mean? Because he has to be on your side, or else none of this is going
to. Yeah. Jake has to be on your side, because if Jake's like being buddy buddy with her, then they're going to be like, oh my God, like Jake is so nice and his girlfriend is just, oh, the worst. It's like, it needs to be like, she's the problem, not you're the problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that the listener has other girlfriends too, so it's not just her going into the situation.
That would be a completely different conversation.
Yeah.
I also like that you still invite Sarah places, like your 4th of July party. It's, and again, doing things like that, it's just going to prove more that it's her, right? Yeah. If she's not coming, okay, cool. Truly didn't want you there anyways, but at least you're still extending that invite, and it's her that has to say no, or has to look like the asshole.
Yeah, and it's great like fuel for gaslighting later to say, I haven't had a problem with you. I invited you to my party. If I had a problem, like, it seems like you have a fucking problem, Sarah, if you're going to bring something up, you know?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. That is good fuel for the gaslighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think good that's guess. Like, I think once you guys do have a conversation or this comes to a head again, I think it's like, oh my gosh, like, I've been trying to be your friend this whole time. Like, I'm just, you know, I just was waiting on you. Basically, gaslighter.
Yeah.
Gaslighter. And on that, I think we should end. This is like a long episode.
Okay. Yeah, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. How do you want to end it, Bailey?
I just want to say thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. I would also really appreciate if you would leave us a 5-star review, maybe write a comment saying your favorite thing about me or Jade or Paige. You could tell us who you thought was the least bearable this episode, as long as it's partnered with a 5-star review. You could also follow us on Instagram at Your Poor Dad Pod, and you can write us an email at yourpoordad@gmail.com.
And write us about anything you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, surprise me.
You guys have been doing great on the write-ins.
Yeah.
I know. I love when they say, I don't know where this is going to go, and you know it's going to be juicy because they're like, you didn't ask for this, but I know you want it.
Yeah, exactly. And they're right.
Yeah. You're always right, guys.
All
right.
Well, thanks, everyone. Bye.